Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
Hallelujah. Wow. You know, we have had church. Isn't it great? Isn't it? My goodness. Today, I'm just, wow. We had an hour packed full of encouragement already from the praise and worship. And as I got ready and was preparing to honor Mr. Curtis, I could not help but think of everything that we've went through as a nation and how we can love our neighbors. And when we love our neighbors, you can't get mad at them when you love them like Jesus, regardless. That's one of the things, that's what it meant, the freedom, the right to say what we want to, the right to go the way we want to. And I just praise God for my brothers and sisters in Christ and for this opportunity. And I thank Pastor Chris, but I also want to thank those who are watching online. Y'all put your hands together for them. Praise God. We don't have no first-time visitors in here today, but we might have a first-time watcher. Praise God. Praise the Lord. So I've entitled today's message when I was thinking about Veterans Day and us honoring them, but I was thinking about, can we finish the fight? Can we finish what's before us? Walking with the Lord in the army of God. And that's what I'm going to talk about, the army of God, the Lord of God, Jesus Christ. Nothing, I'm not talking about that, nothing else. What's at stake? Well, what's at stake if we don't is our very freedom, our victory, which is our plan of redemption in our life, if we don't continue to walk with God with the way we started out. And I'm going to read about that, and we're going to read a few portions of Scripture, and I may not get to all of them that I gave the sound booth. They're going, whew, thank you. But in reality, I've said this for the last 4 years, often from this pulpit, God's not done with America yet when we keep our focus on Him. Right. Praise God. We must wake up, church family, CFC family. Playtime is over. I think about that. I think about what Mr. Curtis tells me, you know, because I just look at the honor of going and seeing somebody and talking to somebody like that. And he's not the only one. I mean, I've known a lot of veterans that have went home to be with the Lord. Some of them, World War II, Korea, most definitely Vietnam. And I go, man, goodness. And then I sit back and I look at me. And I want you all to think about this when you think about what's going on in your life today. I'm walking with one of my grandchildren across a bean field going to a tree stand, and I'm just looking down. This is something I never had. I never had a grandfather to take me. Never. No. They were both gone in early 50s and 1950s. But I think about that and how you can spend time with your families, and that's what this is about, God and your families. And that's what I'm going to talk about, how God is into people changing business. But I look down at him sometimes, and I sit there, and he looks at me, and I go, man. And he goes, what's wrong, Pop? And I, because he sees the tears in my eyes, and I said, man, I'm living a dream. Well, that was about 6 months ago. You know, every time he sees me and I want to say something to him, he's doing something wrong, he says, remember, you're living a dream. You know, I mean, they're quick. I wasn't that quick, you know. But I think about it, and I sit there, and I ask myself, and I ask Pamela Jo, and I asked Mr. Curtis, I said, why me, Mr. Curtis? Why me? A knucklehead redneck who did everything he could to try and kill himself and everybody around him, destroy lives by living a sinful life. And guess what? You know what Mr. Curtis told me? He said, why not you? And I sat there and I said, well, that's pretty simple. And he said, well, isn't the Bible simple? Why not you? So that's what I'm saying. So the message today is, can we finish the fight? It is a fight of faith that we started when we received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. This is not something done cheap words or anything. This requires action. So These are the thoughts. All these things went through my head. This opening I didn't have on here. I jumped right into the book of Acts and the message. But after sitting through Wednesday night service with Pastor Chris, which I would encourage each and every one of you to do, it is actually a one-time message and it's very short. But I mean, I'm just telling you, because he's got it. Man, he's my pastor, he's your pastor. But he had a one-time message. And all these thoughts were going through my mind and my head as I sat and listened to him give this message. And I'd encourage you all to do that. And just a few of these quotes that he says, godly fear and caution we must have in the days we live in. Godly fear and caution. Okay? Then he said that we are and need to be extremely thankful for the nation we live in. That our humility in Christ is God's protection against the enemy. Well, where do you get at James 4, 6? God gives grace to the humble. That we as Christians have a standard to live by. Ladies and gentlemen, excuse me. He said we've been given, and we have been given, a second chance. I read from Hosea 14. That was about a repentant nation. You can go back and read Jeremiah 20 when they're getting ready to rebuild the temple. My goodness, and Jeremiah, he didn't want to say anything. He was tired of the persecution. He was tired of people coming after him. And what did he say? He said, man, it's in my bones and in my heart, and I can't keep my mouth shut. Praise God. Can you see him? Hey, man, he put his head on the line when he did that. Okay, so this morning I pray that the words that I speak in Jesus' name are motivated with love and are spoken boldly to you as my brothers and sisters in Christ, and that you hear something that possibly you hadn't thought about before. That's called, you know, from the Word of God, it's called revelation knowledge. But the cost of discipleship, are we ready, really, for the final push in these days we live in? Are we ready for that? Are you ready to put your life on the line? Those veterans lined up all the way across here. And those of y'all don't know it, you talk to Rick about what he did in the service, and you're going to go, wow, he's got some things to tell you. And many of those guys do. But he was in combat. Mr. Curtis was in combat. They put their lives on the line. I think about my dad. We buried him in 08 from Agent Orange. And how they do that? I talked to Sally Karadima all the time about her daddy. Her daddy was a gunner in a B-17 in World War II. All these things. Am I ready to do what they did? Am I? Talk's cheap, folks. Real cheap. So, you know, I state to you that yes, we can live the life God has chosen for you and I. We've been equipped to be as bold and powerful as Jesus Christ himself on this earth. I think about what Jesus told, what Matthew writes, what Jesus said in Matthew 10:39. He says, he who finds his life will lose it, but he who loses his life for my sake shall find it. Well, that ain't too friendly, man. I kind of like, you know, but when you put it in perspective, and then you go on and read Romans 6:7, and it says, when he who died has been freed from sin. Well, that's the good part. That's what happens to you. That's what she's talking about me, when you finally die to self. And Colossians 3:3 says, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. I'm talking to a room of grown-ups. You should try and explain that to your grandkids, how you have to die to self. These are things we talk about. I talk about you have to die to self. The flesh. Yes. The flesh. Put this flesh aside and enjoy the ride. You know? And I say that. And probably the one of the most famous that Paul said was Galatians 2:20. When he said this really flipped me out when I first started reading the Bible. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things yet unseen. Hebrews 11:6 tells you without faith it is impossible to please God. We must believe he is who he said he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Isn't that great news? I don't know about y'all, but I started reading, I started falling in love with him more and more every day. I do it every day. And do I have issues? Sure. But I keep putting the flesh aside. I have to. I don't have no choice. So, let's look at some word. Y'all ready to go to the word even though I've done? You know, I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles to the book of Acts, but they're going to put them up here. And on the first two scriptures is from Acts 2, 14 and 15. But as I prepare to just go into that, do we understand that these disciples in Acts 2 were publicly putting their heads on the chopping block for declaring that Jesus Christ was Lord? I mean, death. Decapitation. That's what happened to Paul. I mean, they were going to... And the one saying this is Peter. And I want to remind everybody that 40 to 50 days prior to this, Peter, to me, is probably one of the most famous liars in the Bible. He denied Christ three times. And here he is. And there's a reason why he does this. But, and says this. So Acts 2, 14, let's get to the word. Then Peter stepped forward from the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd. Woo! Listen carefully, all of you. Fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem, make no mistake about it. These folks are not drunk as some of you assuming. 9 o'clock in the morning is much too early for that. Yeah, well, anyway. When I read that, see, you got to read the Bible, and when you read it and you go, man, he's telling the truth. They had a standard of living that even if they wanted to take a nip, they didn't. You know? I'm telling you, some of the guys I hang around with, that was their morning coffee. You bite the snake that bit you is what they would say. But he shouted at them. This is the same guy who denied Jesus Christ. Man, and then here he is. These are great testimonies, and they should inspire us to finish our fight of faith. Does that make sense to you? That's why we're doing this. My goodness, he shouted. He shouted, are we bold enough and confident enough to take the reins and set the standard for Jesus Christ in our homes and on our jobs? Are you bold enough to say no to sin? I'm not going to do that. Right. Are you bold enough to look at your neighbor and say, no, we're not doing that anymore? Are you bold enough when when you tell the man, no, you're not going to your buddy's crab picking or the barbecue and everything else and the Jack Black's flowing and everything else, and you go, nope, I ain't going. That's all you got to say. Make some decisions in your life to live for Jesus Christ. And when I'm emphatic about this and I live like this, yes. Yes. I made a decision. 1999, when I got filled up with the Holy Spirit. And 96, I got saved and born again, and I'll talk about that in a little while. But I made a decision to live for God. I'm not going back. I'm not going to take a drink. I'm not putting nothing in my mouth that don't belong there, and I'm definitely not drinking no... liquid stupid to steal your brain and bounce it down the sidewalk. Praise God. You can tell I'm fired. It makes me mad the way I was. Somebody should have taken me out behind the woodshed and beat the snot out of me. And I had some people try and do that. Yeah, I woke up in the hospital one time and I looked up and they got them fluorescent lights. I'm like, where in the world am I at? Get me out of here. I mean, I'm telling you the truth. Because I was a fool living for the devil and didn't know it. I was one of those idiots who said, I'll break the gates of hell wide open. Yeah, you'll break it all away and you'll die in utter damnation. Yeah. I had a guy at church, Frank Massey, at the shipyard. He was getting ready to leave. Man, last day in the shipyard, 1994, and I was going to hell in a handbasket. And he come over there and he'd had it. It was his last day on the job, man. And he had been loving me for a long time. But I wouldn't have anything to do with him. Every time he'd bring up that Jesus stuff, I'd say, get out of here. He come over there with his Bible. He read it every day at lunch. And this is what he did. He came over. I'm going to do Chris. But he came over. He took that Bible. And he said, you're going to listen to me, Johnson, or I'm going to hit you right between the eyes with this book. He'd had it. He was 65 years old. And he knew he couldn't take me. But I said, man, he's serious. He wants to tell me something. You know what he said? He said, you're hanging over hell by a thread and it's on fire. And he opened right there to Romans 5:8, that God demonstrated his great love for you, that while you're still sinning, he died for you. And I said, gee whiz, man, okay, Frank, he's serious about this. Well, that was when I first cracked a little bit. Man, I thought Pamela Jo would tell you some stuff, and I'm not giving her the mic no more today, praise God, unless she takes it, it's down there. But, you know, I was the best thing since sliced bread, you know. I was Mr. Perfect. You ask my daughters. They'll tell you, that was Mr. There. Here comes Mr. Fix-It. The other one would say, that's Mr. Perfect. You know, what's he going to say this time? You know, hey, you know. So praise God. I don't want to get too far. So go to Acts 2, 36 and 37 through 39. These are good ones. Man, this is what I do in the morning. Pastor Chris was talking to me this earlier in the week, and I said, man, I just get up and I get excited about reading the Bible. And he said, well, you're supposed to. I said, I do, because you see yourself in here. It's not about me. It's about God, but it's about our relationship with him. And when we read it and put ourselves in those positions, I read it. Right now, I'm reading it to the assembly of believers. Well, when I'm reading it in the morning, it's about me. I see myself in there. I see my family in there. So, 36, let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified to be both Lord and Messiah. Number one thing, my goodness, what's the first thing he says? He ain't trying to win no friends. He said, you crucified him. My goodness. Peter's words pierced their hearts. And they said to him and to the other disciples, brothers, what should we do? That's a great question. Some of y'all need to ask yourself today, what should I do? Well, this was what Peter said. My goodness, he says, Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus for the forgiveness of sins that you received the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you and your children and even the Gentiles and all who have been called by the Lord Jesus. My goodness, Peter, as he openly, in public, confronts the very religious leaders that had just killed Jesus. This is awesome stuff. He didn't back down. He didn't go run in the campfire. He didn't tell no little girl liar. He didn't cuss. But notice when he said this, he said it in a way that they received what he was saying. Not in a belittling, harsh manner. Wow. And not watered down. He didn't water it down, obviously. But in a no-nonsense, unapologetic, and direct approach, he told him, you did this. Whew. Everyone we meet deserves to be spoken to with dignity and respect. I have issues with that. I'm still fighting my old man at times. I got to constantly put him down. Constantly, ladies and gentlemen. I know I'm the only one in here like that. I mean, I know I'm the only one that's ever said anything harsh or out of the way to somebody. But I have to do it. Why? Well, the Word of God tells you to. Colossians 4, 6 says, let your speech be with grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer one another. Hey, just put the Word of God in there and he'll back you back up, big boy, and pull your pants back up. It says, in verse 36, 7, it said, the good news created pain, and they said, my goodness, their hearts were broken. What can I do? Ladies and gentlemen, the truth should cause us to change. The truth spoken in love should cause us to change. There's parents in here. Man, when you're correcting your children or your grandchildren, you do it in love. You do it in love. That's what causes the change, not a harshness. Man, I was raised by a very... You know, he wasn't no Andy Griffith, I can tell you that. You know what I'm saying? I mean, harshness don't do it. But that's not an excuse. You have Jesus Christ on the inside of you now. See, that's who we have. That's the hope, the glory. I'm gonna go to one more, and then we're going to. But Acts 3, verses 12 through 16. Man, there's so many examples. I've got them in here, and I'm going to give some homework in a minute because Jesus said right here, Peter saw his opportunity. You know and I know when you have an opportunity to present the gospel to somebody and address the crowd. People of Israel, he said, what is so surprising about this? And why stare at us as though we have made this man walk by our own power and godliness? This is from the New Living. But Peter and John had just spoken in Jesus' name and healed a man. For it is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of all our ancestors, who has brought glory to this servant Jesus, to his servant Jesus, by doing this. This is the same. Here we go again. Man, Peter, he's looking for it, ain't he? He's cruising for a bruise. And I can hear them Pharisees and Sadducees say, this guy says this one more time, I'm going to take his head off. He says, this is the same Jesus whom you handed over and rejected before Pilate. good time of day. He just flat tells them again, you did it, boys, not me, despite Paul's decision to release him. You know one good thing about the Holy Ghost? When you get the Holy Ghost, you forgot when you denied Jesus. Think about that. He takes those things away from you and gives you a boldness to say, hey, man, I repented. God forgave me. I ain't looking back no more, and I'm not doing that no more. Think about that. These are just things. This is how Doug reads. So, you know, praise the Lord. It says, despite Paul's decision to release him, you rejected this holy, righteous one and instead demanded the release of a murderer. You killed the author of life. I like that. The author of life. But God raised him from the dead, and we are witnesses of this fact. I want you to think about what happened. That's a horrible thing, what they did with Barabbas. They said, give us Barabbas. He was a murderer, a riot starter. Man, he was a zealot. I mean, he was a criminal. But think about the picture of God's grace alive and active in the book of Acts with that. The forgiveness, giving him another chance. 2 Peter 3:9, when God is slack, you know, concerning because he wants to see people get saved. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense to y'all? Okay. Well, notice that Jesus was preaching in the temple, remembering that that he is a fisherman, a worker, a lunchbox carrier. He's no different than you and I. Pastor Chris is an ex-meat cutter. I'm an ex-tin bender. Spent 28 years bending metal in the shipyard. Hey, he spent 15 years cutting meat and everything else. That's who God calls. God calls you to be the marketplace ministers for him. Now I ask you again, are you ready to finish the fight? Yeah. Think about that. Am I ready to finish? Am I going to be bold this afternoon when I leave here? You know, and come back Wednesday night for my midweek fill-up because I leaked a little bit on Tuesday. You know, that's what happens, man. My goodness, I mean, hey, does anybody else leak besides me? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Pastor, we get to laughing sometimes, and he said, what's going on, Pastor? And I said, man, I got a sieve for a head, that's why. You know, big holes in it. But anyway, I'm going to do one more, my favorite part. But Acts 4, 8 through 13. Y'all okay? Yes. Y'all need to write these down and read. Read them. Sit back. Get some quiet time. Go sit in the swing in the yard. Go sit on the porch. Go sit down. Yes. Keep the TV off. Praise God. Please. Please keep that thing off. And read these. And just ask God to open your heart to what the Word of God has to say. So, I told you 8 through 13. Let me get down. Okay. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, how could he do this? He was filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of our people, are we being questioned today because we've done a good deed for a crippled man? Do you want to know how he was healed? Now, we may think those are silly questions, but the simplicity of the gospel, maybe them people didn't understand what happened. Let me clearly state to all of you and to all the people of Israel that he was healed. Listen to this. This is great stuff. By the powerful name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, the man you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. For Jesus is the one referred to in the scriptures where it says, the stone that was you builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness. Listen, they saw it. They can see your boldness and faith for Jesus Christ. Of Peter and John, the ex-tin bender, the ex-meat cutter, the truck driver, the restaurant worker, the teacher, the farmer. They see your boldness, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. Wow. My goodness. That's awesome stuff. I'm going to give you one to read for homework, but from Acts 5, 17 through 20. It's pretty good stuff. It's where the prison doors were opened by the angel and Peter and John got out. It's good stuff, man. Man, I don't want to get in there because I've got a lot to say about that. But I want to move on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. The one who Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. The one that we finish our fight with as first and foremost in our life. Man, it's awful somber in here. Awful sober. Man, y'all taking notes? That's good. But take this into your heart and take and do something with it. You know, that's the whole thing. But Matthew 10:28, listen to what Jesus tells his first discipleship team. He says, don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. But that's a good one. They cannot touch your soul. Fear only God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell. This is Jesus talking to his first discipleship team. My goodness. And then I'm going to back up to 5:11-12. Chapter 5:11-12. Listen to what he says here. He says that God bless you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are my followers. 12. Be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were also persecuted in the same manner. Ain't that amazing? My goodness, is that the talk that you would give your evangelism team? Hey, you know, they're going to mock you, spit on you, curse you, throw you in jail, but don't worry about it. No, that ain't how you build that team. Not now. Maybe it should be. Maybe we'd have a bigger team. Just doing what God said. Okay, I'm going to ask them to go to Matthew 11:28-30. This is ammunition, so you know I'm just not up here shooting my mouth off about something I don't know. This is something I read. But listen to what Jesus says. We could spend some time here. He said, then Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy to bear and my burden is light. Jesus didn't promise us a free ticket. He did not. The immediate implication that I had after reading this was that there is work in the ministry and in the gospel of Jesus Christ. I have a job to do. Jobs require work. Work is a four-letter word, and it's not a bad one. So it's either easy with Jesus or hard in the world. You can burn the candle at both ends. Go for it. Do it if you ain't got Jesus. Go ahead. The metaphor of a yoke is that it joins two animals together. It's a piece of wood back then. Now it's, you see the leather harnesses on the wagon trains and everything, but it's a yoke. It joins two animals together. This is not simply for work or toil that is the focus here, but that we are in union with Christ in our labors. You understand what I'm saying? We're in union with Him is what that yoke. He says, come take my yoke. Well, He's the other one on the other side. The unique thing that we have here as the body of Christ is that we have a household of believers who are there with us, pulling alongside of us, making it easier, serving in the church, doing the right things. Wow. Colossians, this is something you write this down. This is one of my favorite ones. It's on the front of my desk in my office. But Colossians 3:23, work willingly at whatever you do as though you are working for the Lord rather than for people. Think about that. You're doing it for the Lord. This is what I'm doing. Wow. So, y'all still happy you're here? Yeah. I am. Man, I'm still fired up about the Veterans Day. My goodness, those guys, men and women. Rick, Brother Rick, and what they had to say, and Brother Curtis. Yeah. Praise the Lord. You know, I never paid any attention to drinking water until you find yourself on YouTube. And then you think about, how did I drink? Man, you should have listened to your mama and had more manners. But, you know, so I'm going to talk about the cost here. What does it cost? What's it cost me and you to walk for Jesus and to finish the fight? I'm going to ask them to put up Luke 9:58-62. And this is something, my goodness, good stuff. You know, we want to go to Paul. I want to go to 1 John. I want to go to Ephesians and Galatians and Revelation and talk about all these things, but Jesus, the Master, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the one who was actually crucified, said these. And this is from the New Living, but it's the cost of following Jesus, and I want you to listen to what he says. As they were walking along, someone said to Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens to live in and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." He said to the other person, "Come, follow me." That means be my disciple. The man agreed, but he said, "Lord, first let me return home and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, listen to this, this is Mr. Compassion himself, Jesus, the Son of God. "Let the spiritually dead bury their own dead. Your duty is to go and preach about the kingdom of God." What's it cost you now? Think about that. He didn't say it was wrong to have family. But nothing comes before me and my Jesus. Nothing. And I'll talk about that in a few minutes. But Jesus told him, and another said, "Lord, I will follow you." This is 61. "I will follow you, but first let me say goodbye to my family." But Jesus told him, "Anyone who puts his hand to the plow, then looks back, is not fit for the kingdom." Notice he didn't say you took both hands on the plow and turned around and looked back. He said the plow they had back in them days, I don't know if they had two, but they at least had one handle. And he said, if you went like this, you're still plowing. I'm still doing the work of the ministry, but I'm looking back. He said, I'm not fit for the kingdom. I read that and I say, my goodness, I got to give it 100%. Not 80-20, not 60-40, not 95-5. I've got to give it 100%. When my pastor calls, I answer the phone. I'm talking about me and my call. Okay? You know, before when I was working for Richard Love down there changing truck tires, if Pastor Chris come by and said he needed something, I did what he asked me to do. He's my pastor, not my master, but I trust him and I trust this word of God. Obviously, you all do too. We've done a great work here together as the body of Christ, yoked together. Get it? Okay, so y'all still in there, right? But I do want to point out one thing. It's because I'm going to talk about my, in closing, I'm going to talk about my, what it cost me to answer God's call. But something that I heard in just about every other church I've been to teaches Jesus was just a poor shepherd. My goodness, he was born in a manger. Now, we know that's foolishness. We know that's not scriptural. But people use this one verse right here when he says, "Foxes have dens to live in and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." It was not because he was poor. My goodness, there was a caravan of folks brought his whole family a camel's loads of money. He had a treasurer, and that treasurer wasn't carrying around mothballs. Okay? Religious persecution from the authorities is why he had no place to lay his head. You can go back and read the Gospels and Matthew's. His own family wanted him to go to Jerusalem for the Passover a year early because he knew that they knew they were going to kill him. My goodness, Mark 6, he wasn't even welcome in his own hometown. He could do no mighty works, he said. He marveled at that. So think about that. The man still had the plow, his hand to the plow, and was looking back. Here at CFC, we've been yoked together with Jesus. And could this be when we're yoked together with Jesus and the goodness of God that it's so hard when something happens to somebody or we have a disagreement or somebody leaves the flock? Man, our hearts grieve. Well, that's what James 4:5 says when the Holy Spirit yearns for us jealously. So we have to stop looking in the rearview mirror if we want to finish the fight, ladies and gentlemen. We have to. We have to. Or we'll do as Pastor Chris stated Wednesday night, history will repeat itself. And we've heard that many times. It costs you and I to serve God. Some of us, it costs relationships. It costs family. It costs jobs. It costs status in the communities we once lived in. More so now in the last 4 years than ever before. It costs us jobs. It costs my family members jobs. It costs people in this room jobs. You know what I got to say to all that? Their loss, my gain. Their loss, my gain. It will cost you sometimes everything you have obtained up to this point. Now, again, I keep asking this question because it keeps coming up. Are you prepared to finish the fight? Some of us have been in a knockdown, drag-out fight with the world until we met Jesus. Now, are you prepared to finish the fight, Doug Johnson? You better believe it. You better believe it. My goodness. I think about the military. You know, when those guys, some of those guys were drafted, some of those men and women joined. But the military doesn't ask you what you want to do. They tell you what you want to do. When you go on the job, whether it's construction or back when I was in the shipyard, they didn't ask you, oh, here's a new brand new guy. What do you want to do when you're down here? No, they don't say that. They looked at me. I was the smallest one in the bunch. They used to take us all. They come in their 50th Street gate. But they take you all down there, and we went down to the North Yard, and I was the skinniest one in the bunch. In other words, man, we got to give him a job he can take it easy on. They took all them other guys, grown men. There were some grown men down there, and they shipped him off to the shipway, to the riggers, and to the fitters. And the guy said, come with me. And we went over there, and I'm not kidding you. He walked right over to this ladder, this little bitty ladder. And I tell you, because I ended up making them in a sheet metal shop, but they ain't 15 inches wide. And he said, that man's waiting for you up there. And I looked up that ladder. And I said, you want me to go up that ladder? And he said, you want a job? Bang! Squirrel Johnson went on up that ladder. That quick. I squeezed the paint off of the side of them things. It was yellow. And they had a catwalk. It was 15 feet before the cat guard. You know, that round thing goes around there? I still don't understand why they didn't put that thing on the ground. You know, you could catch something. You know, but you do what you're told to do. You think Jesus is any different? No. Is it uncomfortable? When you first start walking with God, it's very uncomfortable. Yeah. Now, I'm going to tell you a personal testimony of mine in closing, and I'm going to make this very brief. Man. In the former church I was in, denomination, I went to a divinity school. Praise God. I might as well go ahead and say it. It was Duke Divinity School. Y'all know where Duke University is in Durham, North Carolina. Well, every time we go there on a trip in the church, when I go by there, I don't even look to the left going and I don't look to the right coming because it's over there. It's like a black cloud. And this is what happened to me. Because several things happened to me, and you can tell I get a little, I just go, praise God, bless their hearts. But I was in that class the very first day, the first week I was in there, the very first class. I'm not going to say the professor's name, but he was an Episcopalian ordained elder of the church. But he was a professor of divinity, and he was going to teach us the Old Testament. Whew! But anyway, he goes, you know, all seen the amphitheaters that they got? This is what you're sitting in. Well, I came in. I didn't know nobody, didn't know anything, and I sat up in the corner, back corner. So obviously, he wasn't going to see me. He wasn't going to call on me. Well, he called on me, and I was the last one. Well, he called on me, and he looked down on the paper because, you know, and he said, Brother Doug, tell us about yourself. And I said, well, thought for a minute, I said, well, I might as well let it out of the bag. I said, well, I got saved in 1996. My dad tried to beat the hell out of me. That didn't work. My wife's been praying the hell out of me. That wasn't working, but it wasn't until I found Jesus Christ at that local church that I got the hell saved out of me by Jesus. Now, this is in a divinity school, and all them people are my peers. I told Pastor Chris this years later, and he said, you need to go see that movie, God Ain't Dead, or God's Not Dead Yet, or something. But anyway, I haven't. But anyway, he goes, and I'm sitting there, and he goes, class, right in front of 45 people. I thought, well, wow, I must have hit a home run on this one. He goes, we have one of those with us today, a miracle, believer of miracles. When you were singing that second song, Eva, I was taking pictures of it. Because I hear it, I've heard it 1,000 times, but I just can't sing it. So when I see the words, I'll hear the voice of the praise team tomorrow morning when I get up singing. Miracle worker, promise keeper. You know? This is God. And he goes, we have one of those who believe in miracles. You know, he believes he's a miracle. He believes he's that special that God chose him. And I'm thinking, well, hold a minute now. I'm actually preaching at a church in downtown Matthews County. And I'm going, hold a minute. But John 15:16 tells me that I chose you. You didn't choose me, that you would bear fruit and that your fruit would abide. And that whatever you ask the Father in his name, he will give you. And then three verses later, again, at the end of that verse, he says, God chose you. And I'm going, but he did, you know. And he said all that. And then he says, do you have anything else you would like to tell the class about miracles? And I thought to myself, I was thick because I should have got a clue then. Now, it was at the end of the second year that I got the clue. But I said, yeah, I do. I said, the reason you don't believe in miracles is because you didn't know me before I got saved. And that's what I told him. That's the only thing I could tell that guy. And they spent the next 8 weeks, him and his comrades, trying to impress upon me through a change in my mind, my perspective, that the 66 canonized books that we have right here is about something, and that the first five books were actually never happened. This is what's taught in the divinity schools. So I'm going to ask you, are you ready to finish your fight? Do you know how many preachers are trained like this and go out to their churches and preach this garbage? Heresy? Now, this is tough stuff, folks, but this is the truth. This is what happens in them schools. And they teach you the first five books are campfire stories, people that pass it from generation to generation, folklores. That's why Paul wrote wives' tales. Don't listen to it. He said in Ephesians, what was it, 2:8, don't be deceived. No. For by grace you've been saved through faith, not of yourselves, but a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For you are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that you should walk in them. He tells us that we got good works to walk in, not that stuff, you know. So I'm sitting there listening to this for 8 weeks. They're talking about this. And by the way, did y'all know that Isaiah really only has 55 chapters in it? They don't count the last 10. They told me that, and that's the second time I said something. I'm telling y'all something you might not know, you might not hear, or whatever. But I'm telling you, this is what's taught in us. That's why it's so important where you go to your local church at. That's why you support. That's why you come. But they said this, and I raised my hand again. I'm going, dummy. By this time, I'd gotten two roommates, and they were hiding behind the book. And I said, but didn't Jesus, when he went in the temple, say Isaiah 61? Didn't he quote that? Well, the guy just blew by me, and he didn't say nothing. So I sat back down. But this is what they're teaching. So is it important that I know that I know that I know that Jesus is my Lord and Savior? That I cannot be talked out of this even by highly educated, highly educated people. But this is what I don't want us to do. I want us to stand fast. I want us to come to read the Word of God and know that this is His Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, the Word was God. Psalm 138 says that you have, 138:2, I believe, says, for you have magnified your word above your name. The living word is magnified above his name. You know, what happens? What happens? Well, I'm going to get them to put John 21:1-3 up there. And the reason being is because this is what happens a lot of times. I could have done this. I could have done this very easily. But he says, John 21:1-3, this is right after Jesus has appeared to the 12. He's appeared to Thomas, doubting Thomas. We get that in chapter 20. But he says, later Jesus appeared again to the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee. This is how it happened. Whew! I like eyewitness accounts. See? No doubt. Several of the disciples were there, Simon Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, Cana of Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. So what's Simon say? Now this is before the Holy Ghost fell. This is before they got that power and boldness that we just read about in Acts. What's he say? I'm going fishing. How many of y'all want to go fishing? I don't know fishing. I like fishing. But, well, come on, they all said. So they went out in the boat and they caught nothing all night. Wasted it because they were doing it on their own instead of sitting there doing what the Lord told them. In Acts 24:49, tarry in the city of Jerusalem till the power of on high comes upon you. No, they were going to go fishing. They were going to resort to their self. You know, when the professor said that to me, you know, the whole class laughed at me. The whole class. We still today laugh at bad jokes because somebody else laughed at them. Later on, 2 years later, this is for another time, but I had those half of that class come out there on my last day there and wanted to know what in the world was going on with me. What happened to me that I can stand up and say what I said when it was my turn to preach? And they were talking about the times that we just went through. We've been given a second a chance, ladies and gentlemen. We've been given it. We need to take care of it. We need to have a hold of it. Now, you got to remember this question. Do I believe God's word or the world? I believe God's word. Period. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what the news media says. I was in trouble if the Bible wasn't true that day. I knew that. I knew, man, you talk about hard-headed, gullible. Doug Johnson was it. You know, I took God and his word, hook, line, and sinker. Fishing, you call it gut hooked. You ain't getting that hook out. You might cut the line, but you ain't getting it out. I took Jesus that way. He gut hooked me. I ain't coming back. No. I quit the job I had. We sold our little farm. I took a half cut in pay. I got rid of all my precious deer hounds and my 4 coon hounds. Man, that was hard. I wrapped my shotgun, my rifle up in a blanket and shoved them under the bed. And me and Pam said, let's go do it. And we did it. So what's it cost you to follow God now? He may not have put a call on you to enter into the ministry, but he's put a call on you to be a brother and sister in Christ, to love your neighbor, to love Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. He's called you to do that. He's called you to be a marketplace minister. He's called you to be Jesus at the gas pump. Smile, wave, somebody has the opportunity, do just what Peter did. He seized the opportunity. He saw the opportunity to do this. He went out and did that. That's the good news of Jesus Christ, isn't it? Man, he gives us the power to do that. Praise God. And ever since that day, I made a determination in I ain't letting nobody talk me out of this. They ain't going to. I've never had more, never felt better. I knew right then that God truly was in the people changing business. Now, did I have second thoughts at times? Absolutely. Did I second guess myself? Yes. But just for an instant, and I cast those thoughts down. I mean, we'll look at each other, me and Pamela Joe, we'll look at each other and say, nope, we're not going back. Because I'll say something, and she says, you're looking in the rearview mirror too much. You're looking back. Man, how many times have I had second thoughts? Many times. You know, when I left the church I was in, we were living in a converted two-car garage. I was changing truck tires for a man named Richard Love down here. And on the side, I was hauling other people's scrap iron and stuff to Middlesex Metals. Pamela Joe got a job at Food Lion. But ladies and gentlemen, we never doubted God. We never did not tithe. And perhaps those were some of the most God-inspired times in my life. Because I was as close to him as I could get. He was the only hope I had. I still woke up every day still get up the same time every day, 4:30, don't make no difference. At that time we had Sunday, Wednesday night, and Saturday night services. And I'd get up the days after those services and I'd type out all the notes on the laptops. Type them all out. Go over those scriptures Pastor Chris was preaching. My goodness, he was preaching at that time on the 7 redemptive names of the Lord. Y'all ever heard of that? We're so blessed to be alive during this time, ladies and gentlemen. We live in the greatest nation in the world that's ever been known, and I belong to the greatest kingdom of God. And I'm going to ask, who's Teresa, come on up here. But this time in the service, you know, there's a scripture we quote a lot in here. It's Esther 4:14. And I'm just going to read it. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. My goodness, how relevant is that to what's going on in today? But you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Ladies and gentlemen, these words ring truer today for the believer than ever before. Can I finish the fight that I started with Jesus Christ, the fight of faith? Can I? You better believe it, and I believe you can too. The same tenacity that Esther had to sacrifice her life, put her life on the line, is the same as the disciples had. They had the ability to get a firm grip on the truth because they were eyewitnesses. We have something better than that. We have God living on the inside of us in the form of the Holy Spirit. They stayed focused and were determined to not be a bunch of quitters. You know, when you play on the teams or you got hunting or whatever, you hate quitters. You hate quitters. I don't want no quitter. Jesus didn't want no quitter. He said, if you look back from the plow, you're not fit for the kingdom. Whew. And only as we've read this morning and through the power of the Holy Spirit can we do this. We need to have the same attributes today that they had, the same tenacity, the same doggedness, the same I got to hold that bone and I ain't letting go of it. The integrity to never give up, never give in, never surrender to the system of the world, and to deny Jesus Christ. This is not an option in the life of a believer. The freedom to make the correct choice to live for Jesus Christ is needed by his followers more today than ever in history. Can I finish the fight? I ask you, can you finish the fight? How about today? Are you ready to make a decision if you need to be and live for the greatest person and God in the world, Jesus Christ? My goodness, I am. I stand before you and I say that. The foolishness of people and how they acted after Wednesday's election is utterly repulsive to me. When the very people that decried and cried out for the Constitution of the United States want to stop it. The media calls it a meltdown. You know what I call it? Stupid with a capital S. It's that simple, ladies and gentlemen. That behavior is uncalled for. This is what happens when we place our hope and trust in a human being and not Jesus Christ. You're on the winning team. You're on the championship team. And I praise God for that. So, as you bow your heads, I'm going to ask and say the same thing that Jesus said again. I'm going to read this again from Matthew 11. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Ladies and gentlemen, are you ready to die a death with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? How much do you want to live for Him? Enough to die in the flesh?
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it helped you. You can visit our website at gocfc.com to listen to other life-giving messages, read the pastor's blog, or to find out how you can be a part of an upcoming service. We hope to hear from you or see you soon. God bless and have a wonderful day.